May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The seven last words of Christ have drawn the attention of many people through the years. Those words have inspired music, drama, and sermons. If we put our minds to it, all of us could probably name the seven last words of Christ. But to help us capture the mood of the miracle of Easter day, I want to focus on the seven first words of Jesus after the resurrection. According to St. John chapter 20, the first section of which we read as the gospel this morning, we can list them in abbreviated form this way. 1. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? 2. Mary. 3. Go to my brethren. 4. Peace be unto you. 5. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. 6. Be not faithless, but believing. And 7. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Word 1. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Because of the short period of time between Jesus' death and the coming of the Sabbath on Friday evening, the women who had stood by the cross didn't have time to anoint the body of Jesus. When the Sabbath arrived at sunset on Good Friday, they had to go to their homes and rest. But after sundown on Saturday, the end of the Sabbath, they prepared the spices. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to anoint the body of Jesus. According to the other gospel accounts, she was joined by Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and perhaps other women as well. But in St. John's version, it was only Mary Magdalene. She came to the tomb early on the first day of the week. When she saw that the stone had been rolled away, she immediately ran to tell Peter and the other disciple, whom we assume to be St. John. The two men then raced to the tomb, with the younger, John, getting there first. But John waited outside the tomb for Peter to arrive. Upon his arrival, Peter immediately pushed his way into the darkness of the cave. He saw the linen wrappings and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head folded neatly by itself. After looking around a bit, the two men left, but Mary stood weeping beside the tomb. Then she saw two angels in white where Jesus had been lying, and they asked why she was weeping, and she explained that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. Then she turned and saw someone whom she thought was the gardener standing nearby. At that point, she didn't know it was Jesus. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the resurrected Christ, and Jesus spoke his first resurrection words to her. Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking? Under normal circumstances, these would seem to be odd questions. It shouldn't surprise us that someone would cry at the tomb of a loved one, and we understand her crying if she thought someone had stolen the body of her loved one. But Jesus spoke out of the joy of resurrection. Then, like us, she saw but didn't see. Mary looked right at Jesus, but either her eyes were somehow blinded or she couldn't see him through her tears. And she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." Word 2, Mary. Then Jesus spoke his second word when he called her by name, Mary. No doubt she had heard that word from his lips many times. When he called her name, she recognized him. This incident is very similar to that of the two men on the road to Emmaus in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. But in that story, they did not recognize Jesus until they broke bread with him. Luke's story is symbolic of the profound power of Holy Communion, wherein our Lord becomes present with us in a way that we can recognize even if we don't totally understand. But Mary's story tells us another truth about Jesus. He calls our name. T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven, in which Jesus is pictured as a bloodhound on our trail. We don't have to seek God. God seeks us through Jesus. Word 3, go to my brethren. When Mary recognized that it was Jesus, she immediately cried out, "Master." When she tried to reach out to him, Jesus stopped her, speaking for the third time, saying, "Don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Note that he calls them brothers or brethren. All of his disciples had been elevated to a new relationship with Jesus. Before the resurrection, Jesus called his disciples friends. In John 15, verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now that Jesus had risen from the dead, he proclaimed a new relationship with those disciples. He called them brothers. When we accept Christ as our Lord, we become children of God, which makes us brothers and sisters of Jesus. When Jesus ascended to God, he left his brothers and sisters here to do his work on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. From St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Word 4, peace be unto you. The fourth words of Jesus come to us on that Sunday evening, the evening of the first day of the week. The disciples were gathered in the home where they had met before. They were behind closed doors because of their fear of the Jews. Suddenly, Jesus came and stood before them and spoke these words, "Peace be unto you." He showed them his hands and his side and said again, "Peace be unto you." Now, this was a common greeting for the time, but it reminds us that Jesus came to give us peace. From Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." From St. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And from St. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Word 5, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Next, Jesus gave them John's version of the Great Commission when he said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." He breathed on them and continued, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Notice the command, "So send I you." The rhythm of the gospel first is "come and see," and then "go and tell." As Christians, we are to proclaim his resurrection. If we've really seen the Lord, we are expected to go and tell. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, recorded the last words of the risen Lord as this way, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Word 6, "Be not faithless, but believing." St. John, in chapter 20, verse 24, explained that all of the disciples were there on that occasion except Thomas. When the others told him, "We have seen the Lord," he could not bring himself to believe it, and he pronounced, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week passed, and the disciples were once again in the house, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood amongst them and addressed Thomas in particular, saying, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Thomas came to faith when he saw it with his own eyes. And Jesus still says to his followers, "Do not doubt, but believe." Word 7, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus seemed to know that the process of coming to faith in him would be difficult for many people. It would be so particularly as time passed from the event. So Jesus says, "Do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And these are the words that he addresses to us. Here we are some 2,100 years following the resurrection. We haven't seen as Thomas did, as Mary did, as the disciples did. We come to Jesus by faith. And Jesus says that such faith is even greater faith than the disciples had. In John Masefield's drama, The Trial of Jesus, there is a striking passage in which the Roman centurion in command of the soldiers at the cross comes back to Pilate to hand in his report on the day's work. After the report is given, Pilate's wife beckons to the centurion and begs him to tell how the prisoner died. When the story had been told, she suddenly asked, "Do you think he is dead?" "No, lady," answered the centurion, "I don't." "Then where is he?" To which the Roman replied, "Let loose in the world, lady, where no one can stop his truth." Amen.